Welcome to episode 201 of Teacher Tech Talk. I'm your host, Tom Varnum, the Digital Learning Specialist for the Tyngsborough Public School District in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts. I hope you had a refreshing and rewarding summer break. I know that I did. Many of you used your time to seek professional development opportunities, so I thought my first episode of the season would focus on PD opportunities in technology. My guest today did spend some of her time taking a course on EdTech, and I hope that our discussion today will give you something you can use in your classroom right away. My guest today is Katie Leahy, an ELA and social studies teacher at the Tyngsborough Middle School. Welcome, Katie. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I'm really excited about today.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your educational experience?
Sure. So I've been teaching here at Tyngsborough Middle School for, this is my 17th year teaching, and I've taught all three grade levels, 6, 7, and 8. And I would say probably about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I became really interested in using more technology in the classroom to maximize engagement for my students. So that's where a lot of my self-driven professional development has been focused on.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you mentioned professional development because that's what I wanted to focus this episode on. So can you tell us a little bit about what you did this summer for your professional development?
Oh, what did I do this summer for my professional development? So I did a lot with tech integration and learning new apps and extensions that I can use with my students to not only maximize the engagement, but also be able to differentiate and offer more choice and voice in my classroom and in their learning. So I took a week-long class at Fitchburg State University with two amazing professors, Mary Murata and Craig Scheel. Mm-hmm. And this was my second class that I've taken with them. And they really just make it so that it's learning technology is not only fun and exciting, but also practical. So I could easily pick up what I was doing in class and be able to complete my assignments, which I could then turn directly into something to do with my class. So I highly recommend them if you have a chance to take their class at Fitchburg. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've often talked to teachers about, I think one of the things that can immediately, you can use technology immediately to change your classroom is interaction and, you know, to use the buzzword, summative assessment.
Yes.
Formative assessment, excuse me, formative assessment.
Yeah.
Getting that quick check, are they getting what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And I think that course sounded really, really some of the things that I was focusing on. So which app or program really created the wow moment for you?
Or
two or three?
Oh, there's so many. So I think in that particular class, that one was with using multimedia, teaching with multimedia. So I think the biggest thing that I walked away is the Adobe platform. Mm-hmm. So Adobe Spark Post, Adobe Spark Page, and Adobe Spark Video. And not only were they super easy to use, but I could immediately see different ways to use both all of these things as both formative assessments and summative assessments, but also as a way to showcase and let the kids show off what they learned. Because that's what we want them to do, right? Taking in charge of their own learning. So I think that was my favorite thing, but there were so many great things. And, you know, we did a lot with AR/VR and using Google Tour and Tour Creator. And some of the stuff that we were playing around with, I was kind of bummed because a lot of it was science and math based, and I don't teach science or math. So I'm like, oh, this would be so great for this. Or I remember one, I don't remember the name of it, but it was a t-shirt, and it looked like a big QR code. And when you held up the device and the shirt created the, like a 3D model, or a live action model, I guess, of the inside of your body.
Really?
So you could be able to like point to things and label things and see how the heart pumps and see how the intestines work.
Well, that's
and
pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But of course, I don't teach science or math, so that knocked that out for me.
I was just over at the high school yesterday in the art class and was talking about Google Tour Creator because the art teacher wanted me to show them some different ways to create a digital portfolio. And I said, you know, you can hang your artwork in a certain space. It could be outside in a garden. It could be anywhere. And then you could use Google Tour Creator to display your art, and you could have certain icons on the work of art that people could click on, and they could pull up information about that piece of art, you know, the medium that you used and things like that. So I think Google Tour Creator is a really interesting way to sort of maximize your portfolio ideas.
Yeah. I also really liked Google Tour Creator. We did a lot with that. Because immediately when I started to play around with it, I'm like, oh, you know, you need a lot of extra things. You need the goggles to be able to put the device in. You need the devices. What if a kid doesn't have a phone? So all that stuff. But there's, I didn't realize that there's a functionality where you can like print out QR codes and kind of hang them up around the room. And the kids with their Chromebook or with their phone can just scan it. And it's, you're not going on a tour of a place, but you can have things from a period of time or from a story pop out, and you can create the tour so that you're cementing understanding and you're sort of bringing those abstract concepts to life.
Yeah, I talked about when we at the high school took group to Walden Pond last year. I did a Google tour creation of some of the places at Walden Pond. I did a 360 of the replica of Thoreau's cabin and the original cabin site. So you mentioned about the QR codes, but you can also pull it up as a web page, and it's a 360 degree thing. So you can get beyond the idea that you need those special goggles to do anything AR and VR. So you had all these tools and all this excitement from the summer.
I did.
And you brought it into the classroom in you know, late August. Can you give us an example of something you got from that PD, that course at Fitchburg, and you used it in class and it really worked well?
Absolutely. I definitely think the use of digital interactive notebooks has changed the way that I teach. I'm trying really hard this year to go as paperless as possible. And I think, you know,
good for you.
Yeah. I think we're, what is this, October 17th? And I think I've only been to the photocopier like 3 or 4 times. So
makes your life easier.
Yeah, so much easier. But what I love about them is I don't have as much clutter around my room because the kids aren't carrying big binders and they're not losing stuff, which is great. But also I can create notebooks that are tailored to what I want them to learn. And the kids are still doing all the skills that we want kids to be able to do as teachers. We want them to be able to listen to a discussion and take notes on it. We want kids to be able to pull out pertinent information, put things in their own words, have time to use what we're teaching them. And I can provide I like Google Slides. I know there are other teachers that use different methods for their interactive notebooks. I like to use the slides, but it's just so easy to make my what would have been teacher-driven lectures into much more interactive and meaningful learning experiences for my students. And the kids really like it because I use some websites that are really great for slide templates. So my slideshows look exciting and inviting. So those are Slides Carnival and Slides Mania. Tons of different, I've used those. Awesome. And the kids get excited when they see that they have an interactive notebook, but they also like that they can access it from wherever. And it's also cut down on my whole, like, well, I didn't have my notes, so I couldn't do that, because they can access it from wherever they are. And they'll never lose them, and they can always go back and look at them. So I think that is the thing that walking away, I've made the most use of. I've used a lot of different things that I've tried.
Yep.
I've been using Google Forms a lot more than I ever have. And I've been using Google Sheets, which I never used before.
Yeah, if you use Google Forms, you're using Google Sheets.
Correct.
Because they go hand in hand.
But I use a lot for my data and my tracking of writing conferences and things, so it's all in one spot, which is really great.
That's good.
So those are some of the things I use pretty daily.
Right. One of the things that hold some teachers back when they choose to use technology in the classroom is, well, what if it doesn't work when I try to do it? Can you share with us an experience you might have had where this is going to be the best thing ever. Let's mm-hmm. do this. And it just falls flat on
them. Yeah. It didn't happen from this year. It was a last year thing. But and when I took the class, I took a class with the same professors in March of the last school year. And I learned about this thing called Google Jamboard. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, that was one of those moments where I'm like, I can't wait to use this. Yeah. And so I took a class on Saturday and I was doing it on Monday. I think I sent you an email and Derek Piper an email.
I was in the classroom when you did this.
And so I'm all set to go and we're ready to go. And I pull a kid in homeroom and I make sure that he can see it. And he's like, yeah, I can see the link. The link works when I click it. Okay, I said, great. And then I go to run it and it didn't. There was no Jamboard under their drive. We couldn't find it.
It wasn't enabled for the students to use in our district.
Yeah.
Teachers had the accessibility, but the students didn't.
Right. And then when we finally did, you know, Derek and it was in the back of the room with you and you were doing it. So when we finally did, I was thinking on my feet. We had them do something else and we waited. But then to like get on to the Jamboard, because it is one of Google's newer products, mm-hmm. it took a lot longer because all the kids were trying to access the same board.
Yeah.
And so I think the biggest thing is going in, I kind of knew this has a 50% chance of falling flat mm-hmm. on my face. And okay. And I, you know, at that point I was telling the kids that I was going in this class. So they were getting excited on the Mondays after they knew I had class because they knew I was going to come back and try things.
What's the new thing we're going to try today?
Exactly. And I just sort of, you have to let go of that. It could fail and that's okay. And being honest with the kids I find is really helpful.
Yeah. I totally agree. And that's, you know, in my experience in the classroom, that's how I learned how to do things. I'm like, you be upfront with the kids. Hey, we're going to try something. Mm-hmm. Might work, might not work. We're going to give it a shot. And then ask for their feedback. What did you like mm-hmm. about this? What didn't you like about this?
Yeah. I also think, I'm sorry, I know you have another question. But I also think, too, is that there are some programs that I've come across and or apps or platforms that have, like, a wide variety of uses. Mm-hmm. And then there are some that are very
niche.
Yeah. And, you know, as much as you might really want to use something like Jamboard, it really is only there for a brainstorming tool.
Yeah.
That's it. So you can't make it something it's not either. And I have to also let go of the fact of sometimes that I'm super excited to use something, but I shouldn't create opportunities to use it. I need to let those come naturally.
Right. Use the technology based on what you're trying to teach rather than the other way around.
Yeah, you're not teaching the technology. You're right. teaching whatever you're teaching, and the technology is the tool.
That's the other thing that is important for teachers to understand is if you're spending more time teaching the technology to the students than teaching the content, you're defeating the purpose.
Yeah.
So you're excited about digital notebooks, digital mm-hmm. interactive notebooks, Google Slides. What are your students really excited about as far as technology goes? What tools do they like to use? What gets them, you know, charged up?
Well, first you've got the games, right? So you've got things like Kahoot. Yeah. They love Kahoot. They actually really, I think, prefer Quizlet Live over
Quizlet
Kahoot.
Live, yep.
For vocabulary, Pear Deck Flashcard Factory is phenomenal. Yeah, they love doing that. Yeah. And I think they're even in awe of how much they understand terms after we use Pear Deck Flashcard Factory. So I think they love those. So like the games aside, my students really have embraced Flipgrid.
Yep.
And they're very comfortable with sharing their voice. They don't necessarily like to put their face on the camera. You know, that's a middle school thing.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I thought about with Flipgrid is if I was a middle school student back in when I was in middle school, which we did not have Flipgrid.
Yeah.
We did not have phones. We did not have computers, but we won't go there. The idea of me recording a video tape to have everybody in the class watch it, it would have just blown our minds. It's like, no way would I do that. Most of them are much more comfortable doing that. There are still some that are like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I think Flipgrid has made some changes where you can just record the audio instead of the video, and I think that makes things a lot easier. But so they're really excited about Flipgrid.
They're really excited about Flipgrid. I think because it allows them to share their views, their voice, their ideas, but they're not forced to write it down. So they view it as quicker, and they get way more in-depth and detailed. They really like Screencastify.
Yep.
So I actually, from the PD you did with the ELA team, we started using Screencastify with editing, and a lot of them have told me how they liked it because they actually did it. They were like, I didn't realize, you know, you would tell us to reread our work, but this was different because I had to read it out loud and I knew you were going to be watching it. And so they really liked that.
Screencastify is one of those apps that, you know, they call it app smashes, that it yes. works well with something else. So if you use Screencastify with Google Docs or Screencastify with Google Slides, where you make the presentation but you also record the presentation, it's a very powerful tool when used with something else.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be Screencastify. There are other ones out there, Screencast-O-Matic and Loom, but Screencastify I found is one of the easier ones to use.
Yeah. What else do they really like? They really like, last year I made the switch to doing a lot of my grading of written work using Gubrick and Doctopus.
Yes.
And they really like that the feedback is emailed to them and I do the audio.
Yep.
So I'm sort of, it's like I'm talking to them. So when I can't conference with them all the time, I'm able to do that. So they like that as well.
I think it works. I'm glad to hear that it has worked well mm-hmm. for you, especially the audio part, because mm-hmm. I think one of the challenges for English teachers, ELA teachers, is how do we make our feedback more authentic? Mm-hmm. Kids get the paperback. Did I get an A? Did I get a B? Did I get a C? They don't look at, well, why did you get it? What can you fix? How can you make it better? And I think with audio feedback, you know, if you don't have the time to have a conference with every student in class, you can have a virtual conference. You can record audio and tell them, this is what I like, this is what I didn't like. And mm-hmm. I think it definitely sinks in better with them.
Yeah, and then there's a couple of that I'm excited to try. I just haven't gotten to the point in the school year where we're doing something where it will work. And so one of them is Do Ink, which is a green screen app.
Ah.
Yeah, so you can record things using the green screen instead of making the video with the green screen and then putting it in something else. It's an app that you can put. Apparently, it's better on iPads, but I've used it on my phone, and it works really well. Okay.
And, of course, I will put links to all of these things we mentioned in the show notes.
Yeah.
DoInk, that's one I hadn't heard of.
Yeah, DoInk, which is a great one. And I did a lot of work in the class with podcasting.
Yep.
And that's how I actually had to like record my reflections instead of writing reflections. So I've been doing a lot more independent reading. I know in the eighth grade, we've put a focus on independent reading this year.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So they read independently 3 days a week for a period of time after lunch. And then on the opposite days, that's my warm-up in English class. So my students are reading independently reading five days a week.
Nice.
Yeah. So I want to start having them do podcasts about what they're reading, books that they would recommend. And I don't know yet if I want it to be each one of them has their own podcast, or I have a class podcast and I invite them as guests like we're doing right now, mm-hmm. Because then their voice can be shared with everybody.
Exactly.
And I think that's super powerful, important. So those are two things that I'm looking to do.
All right, great.
Yeah.
So I wrap up with all my mm-hmm. guests. A favorite app or extension, maybe not specifically for student use, but something maybe that makes your life a lot easier. Could be something for student use, maybe something mm-hmm. we haven't talked about that you found that you would like to pass on to teachers.
If you don't have the Grammarly extension on your Chromebook, you need to put the Grammarly extension
that is
on your Chromebook.
Very good point.
It's a great one. It not only is gonna catch your spelling, but it's gonna catch your punctuation. It's gonna catch like your passive voice versus your active voice. And the only thing that I see that it hasn't been working on has been Google Slides. It works in everything else.
I think you're right.
It works in my email, so it'll just pop up. You just click over it. So if you don't have that on your Chrome extension.
Yep.
You should have that one on there.
And it just started, I think last spring it started working with Google Docs.
Yes.
Which was a huge help.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Yeah. I love it. And there's one, and I forget the name of it. I'm going to have to figure it out. I'll email it to you.
What does it do?
It allows you to, if you click on it, it looks like a little spaceship.
Yep.
If I click on my spaceship, it will take whatever website that I'm working on and it'll put it in like a doc form. So
it's called Rocket Reader.
There it is. Yep. And it, so anything that, you know, when it gets busy and there's ads all over the page, but you really want this article, you really want this whatever, you just click on that and then I can print the page. And it just is like enormous. Takes out all the
print simply.
Yeah. That's a great one.
So that's Rocket Reader and Grammarly. Mm-hmm. So, Katie, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
Your excitement. I love going into your classroom and seeing you try different things. So I hope that at some point we can check in again.
Absolutely.
I know we threw a lot of different tools and websites at you, so be sure to check out the show notes page on my blog for all the links. You can access my blog at bit.ly/varnumblog, all one word. That's bit.ly/varnumblog. That's all for this week's episode. I'd like to thank Katie Leahy for joining me and sharing her professional development experiences this summer and her plans to implement them this year. If you want to leave us a voice message, you can do so from the Anchor app on your phone by clicking the message button. If you'd like to suggest a future topic or a future guest for Teacher Tech Talk, you can leave a voice message or send me an email. For my email address, check out the show notes page on my website, bit.ly/varnumblog. You can also find this information on the podcast homepage, anchor.fm/teachertechtalk. Please join us next time when we will talk with a counselor in the Student Services Department at Tyngsborough High School about how they use technology to help their students. I hope you can join us. Remember, don't be afraid to try something new in the classroom. We'll catch you next time.